I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Mike Birbiglia is going to be joining us at 8 o'clock. He's doing shows through the 20th of August at the Pete's Theater at the Berkeley Rep Theater. And you can get info at berkeleyrep.org. This part of the program is brought to you by Spare the Air. We have something to give away right now, a little sparkle in your summer. Tickets to the Monterey Bay Aquarium. Share an ocean of adventure as you help protect our ocean planet. Share the love. Visit MontereyBayAquarium.org. We'll take caller number 9 right now, 800-400-3697. You'll win a 4-pack of tickets. And listen tomorrow for another chance to win tickets to the Monterey Bay Aquarium. Tired of sitting in traffic all day instead of driving alone? Try carpooling. Visit BayAreaCommuteTips.org to find carpool apps and services. Brought to you by Spare the Air. Taylor Swift is going on trial. So the lawyers are trying to keep her diehard fans off the jury, at least the lawyers on the prosecution side.
I haven't read anything, but you have to believe she's right in the middle of finishing a new album, right?
Yeah, I have no idea where she's at in that process. It does feel like it's time.
It's due. It's coming. I can feel it.
Who knows? Maybe this delayed it somewhat. Although I can't imagine that this is... I'm sure she's got an army of people who are handling this for her, and she just shows up where she's got to. Mm-hmm. She is... Taylor Swift is going on trial later this month. If you haven't heard, a former radio DJ is suing her for defamation. She claims he grabbed her rump during a meet and greet back in 2013. We had some details on this the other day. She was, you know, it wasn't just a pinch on the... And listen, even that's inappropriate. But it wasn't just a pinch. It was an invasion.
Well, I asked you at the time. I think that you know most women have experienced the difference between a random brush and a full-blown goose.
Right.
And she would know.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the crowded spots where I've absolutely seen a woman turn around and punch a guy. And you go, what the heck just happened? But it's because the guy just did something to her. She knows.
Yeah. And even when you look at the picture in question from the, you know, it's a picture we take here 10 times a week.
Yep.
You stand in front of the station logo, you take a happy face picture with someone who's coming through, and you can see that his hand is, it's not up on her shoulders, it's not down her waist.
It's behind her.
It's behind her.
In the butt region.
She is leaning away. So she claims he grabbed her backside during a meet and greet back in 2013. He lost his job because she bitched to the station,
mm-hmm.
or her people did afterward. I think she probably said to someone, oh, my God, that dude just totally goosed me. And either she or someone else complained to the station management, and that guy lost his job. He says that it didn't even happen. She said, yeah, it happened. What on earth? Why would she say it if it didn't? And she's filed a countersuit for sexual harassment. So he is suing for defamation, and she's countersuing for sexual harassment.
And isn't the cost, like, he wants $3 million, she wants $1?
I don't know what she wants. I hadn't seen that. Mm-hmm. I thought...
Page 6 is reporting she wants $1.
She just wants to drag him through this because mm-hmm. he's dragging her.
And I guess she showed up at court yesterday afternoon in Denver as they did some jury selection.
Yeah, she didn't have to be there for that either. She's clearly interested
she's in
the outcome of this. There was some kind of, I don't believe that the general public's in there during jury selection, but they are going to let, I think there's 30 spots or something in the courtroom, and then they're going to have an overflow room that'll seat another 75 people. Mm. And so her fans are expected to line up each morning early, and I think at 6 a.m. they can get in line and they'll hand out passes because trials are open to the public.
Hmm.
And people love Taylor.
He might need a bodyguard.
Yeah.
The boy who goosed her?
Mm-hmm.
So they are selecting the jury right now. And as you may imagine, it's hard to find someone who doesn't know who Taylor Swift is. So they're just trying to keep the super fans off. Or the prosecution's trying to keep... The dude's side is trying to keep the super fans off. they have a questionnaire for prospective jurors, so you have to answer all these questions in addition to whatever other things are normally on a juror questionnaire. It includes stuff like, have you listened to Taylor Swift on the radio? Have you watched one of Taylor's videos? Have you read a blog about her? Have you bought a Taylor Swift album? Have you intentionally listened to Taylor through an online service? Have you gone to one of her concerts? She is, oh, well, they say here if she wins her countersuit, she'll donate the money to charity. So someone is going to get a buck. So she was in the courtroom in Denver yesterday witnessing the jury selection. And it's expected to take a couple weeks. I know.
You think you hated our meeting yesterday. Ooh.
Imagine no going to court every day for a week and a half.
What? No one said that?
No, we loved it. It was just the chairs were uncomfortable. That's all.
What about the coughing into the mic?
That's normal.
Yeah,
that's
he
natural.
He doesn't know what.
He doesn't?
I don't know. Yeah, no more. We should not
I didn't bring it up. Yeah, I didn't bring it up.
Who brought it up,
Hooman?
I thought Hooman might have brought it up.
I'm just sitting here getting stuff ready, answering calls.
I was trying to think of anything else to bring up.
Back to Taylor Swift, everyone.
Yeah, no, we're moving on from her.
Okay.
Back to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the costuming, you know, we watched all the behind the scenes stuff. There's extras. If you have HBO, then you can also get the HBO app, which has all kinds of, like, you know, extras and little bits of interviews and stuff. And they do such a good job with that show that even when you see some of the behind the scenes stuff where it reveals that this isn't actually happening in an actual place called Westeros, you know, I mean, it's incredible what goes into this production. So the costume design is amazing, and we've seen, you know, some behind the scenes stuff on that. But this little detail I thought was so funny. The Night's Watch, they wear the black leather, and they, you know, if you think of Jon Snow in particular, he sort of has this furry, like, leather shoulder piece that goes, or like an animal skin thing, and it's black, and I don't know, I guess it's supposed to be wolf skin or, who knows, woolly mammoth. I don't know what they have there. So it turns out that is a rug from IKEA. They got to go get their stuff where they got to get it. And then, so the woman who does some of the costuming, her name is Michelle Clapton, and she was at the Getty Museum in Los Angeles. And she did, I guess she did the costumes for season 1 through 5. Oh, and is back this season. Revealed the secret about the Night's Watch fur. She says the caps around their shoulders are actually IKEA rugs. We take anything we can. We cut, and then we shave them, and then we added strong leather straps. And Breakdown, which is like a religion on Game of Thrones. Breakdown is how they age everything there, because nothing can look like it's a brand new piece of leather or brand new whatever. In the furniture business, I think they call that antiquing.
Antiquing.
But they apply, so
relicking.
It's just become Breakdown.
Right.
It makes the capes look aged. They use dyes and sandpaper. And
I had one of those rugs from IKEA. Remember when, why can't I think of her name? The lady from KGO redid my house in San Mateo.
Lisa Quinn.
It was a big furry,
like an area rug.
Except it was so furry you'd trip on it.
Oh, as you walked over it.
It was too furry. It was more like something that Willa could lay on, but you couldn't have that in the. It would have killed you.
I would have died eventually.
It would have killed you.
You throw in a corner.
Yeah,
maybe.
I got rid of it because it was super thick, like, you know, 4 inches
high pile,
thick.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's apparently what they're using for these Game of Thrones things. The little caps. Here's the shot of him in an IKEA rug. Oops.
Yeah.
Now that he's the king in the north, they say he's gotten a wardrobe upgrade, because I don't know if he looks like he's got an actual animal, even with parts of the head draped around his shoulders now.
I haven't even noticed.
And it's like a fur lined, it's an upgrade. So I guess that somebody went and did some research, and they think that it's this Tejin rug, which is about $14.99 a piece at IKEA.
Tejin,
that's
mean?
You know how they have names for all the different items there, like you get the Billy bookcase, or you can, and there a lot of them sound Swedish, like the I can't even, you know, the Farvik Nugent couch or whatever.
Okay.
So the TEJN rug, it's about $14.99 a piece. Hmm.
So you can go online to buy any costume from different companies from Game of Thrones. The Jon Snow upgraded costume is $500.
Oh. The new costume where he's the king?
Yeah.
In the north?
Yeah.
I will help you when you bend the knee. So, speaking of IKEA, which, listen, I love IKEA. I'm not alone.
IKEA is in the new Ray Donovan.
Really?
Yep.
IKEA is amazing.
The meatballs are.
Oh, specifically the meatballs.
Specifically the meatballs.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, listen, they do a great job. It's funny because, you know, Riley loves going to IKEA. My older son, he's like, oh, when I get my first apartment, I'm going to get a set like that because that'll be good storage.
And I can have some furniture food while I'm there.
Yep. We'll go get some meatballs. So IKEA is a place you buy furniture, but it's also basically a bunch of sets. Like, you know how they set it up there? I don't know if you've ever wandered through an IKEA, but they have, you know, they've got full-on kitchen set up, and they actually set up a little apartment. They'll go, this is 400 square feet, and here's, you know, for whom? That's what he's got. You know, here's what you can do with it. And they've set up a whole apartment, a bathroom, the whole thing included, a little kitchenette and a couch where they can watch the fake TV.
So, which is a great idea, really.
It's fantastic.
Way to sell.
I know. It's wonderful. Like, you can buy, and they'll even say, you can buy this whole room for X amount of dollars. So my kids have been watching this show, and there aren't that many episodes of it, but it's called IKEA Heights, and it's this group of kids who have shot a soap opera at their local IKEA, and so there they are in all these various sets.
Is it a YouTube show?
It's a YouTube show, and it's, you know, they just think it's so fun. I watched an episode with them. I'm like, okay, you know. The acting is not great, but it's just so funny that it's in an IKEA.
Well, but the guts it took to walk into an IKEA.
Oh my God,
their
security's legendary. So
Jesus,
a few years ago,
really? Are you serious?
A group of actors got together and started to covertly film episodes of a melodramatic soap opera in their local IKEA store in Burbank, California. They called it IKEA Heights, and they're getting a new lease on life right now. When it came out that these actors had been doing this, IKEA saw the funny side of it. They said, we see the humor in it, and we approach our own marketing with a similar tongue-in-cheek humor. Once the press tipped off IKEA to what the actors were doing, filming later episodes got more difficult. I guess they had pictures of the cast up in the security office.
Oh, God.
I don't know why they wouldn't want this to happen. As long as they're not bothering the customers.
Well, maybe that's it.
But that was the funny part about it, because they'd be filming. They'd be set up and filming and be acting out some, you know, big dramatic scene about the affair that one, you know, the guy from the kitchen department is having from the living room department.
So funny.
And then, like, a random person would just walk by because they're in there shopping. But that was the take they went with. So there you go. IKEA Heights. Go there, enjoy the meatballs, and plan your own surreptitious soap opera. Mets pitcher Noah Syndergaard.
Okay.
He was the dude, well, I don't know if I specifically, there were a lot of spears thrown in the Game of Thrones battle scene at the end of this past season, episode. But he threw as the horses were coming over, he was a dude who threw up the spear and killed the horse, and the guy tumbles off. But he's a huge fan of the show, and here's a picture of him in his Lannister battle costume. He was part of the Lannister army in the surprise battle against Daenerys and her dragon. He threw a spear at the Dothraki warriors and took down a horse. He tweeted afterward, "Take that, you mean Dothraki."
He's a big dude. He's like 6'6", 245 pounds.
He does seem to be towering over the other dudes in that picture. So he, his cameo, he told Sports Illustrated, when I guess it was revealed in March that he was going to be in. He said, "I think it's the greatest TV show of all time. So just to be able to say I was in Game of Thrones is an unbelievable feeling."
Yeah, I bet.
I may have to go watch that once again.
Oh, really?
Oh, Sinead O'Connor.
What about her?
She's not doing well. She just released about a 12-minute long video revealing that she is living in a travel lodge in New Jersey. Her only friend is her therapist. Her family doesn't, and that she's dealing with mental illness, and she's, and it's been a rough downward spiral just over the past few years. Every time you hear something from her, it's just getting worse and worse. She shared a lot of it on Facebook because it sounds like she doesn't have a lot of people willing to listen to it in her real life. In her latest video, she says she's dealing with three mental illnesses and is living in a travel lodge in New Jersey. Obviously, she didn't specify which one other than to say it's, quote, in the ass end of New Jersey, which doesn't narrow it down at all. Jersey has a large ass end.
Yeah, I don't know.
She cries throughout the video.
Oh, it's a video. It's not a
12
post.
12 minutes.
Oh.
And talks about how the only thing that's keeping her alive is her psychiatrist, who tells her that she's his hero. She admits it's kind of pathetic that that is all she has to live for, but she otherwise feels alone, unloved, and suicidal, and she also has a kidney stone, apparently, to add insult to injury. Right. She's in the travel lodge because that's the area where she's getting help, and her family, according to her, has abandoned her. She seems a little down on travel lodge, too. You know,
come on, lady.
I guess that these people did a little bit of research. They found 8 travel lodge locations in New Jersey, and collectively they average about 2.8 stars out of 5. Was there anything that particularly grabbed you in the video? I know I made you listen to it this morning, Bryn.
No, everything that she says you mentioned. But you can hear her crying if you want to listen to it. It's basically,
yeah, I want to hear that.
It's going to break my heart.
She's just kind of like crying her way through it. That's all.
That is.
Poor thing.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah. Online, some website is saying Annie Lennox calls for support for Sinead O'Connor.
Did you like that, Hooman?
No, it wasn't as good as I was hoping it was going to be. Sad.
All right, let's talk about something else.
All right.
Any Elvis Presley fans here?
Sure.
Yeah, I love Elvis.
Barely.
Used to watch the movies with my mom.
Sure. My dad was such a huge fan. Like, just the fact that he loves him so much makes me love him more. I guess he used to own a pad in Beverly Hills.
Played Joe House Rock.
Oh, man.
And you can rent it. It's beautiful. It's like those low-slung Frank Sinatra wall of glass looking places.
Like Palm Springy looking places.
With some Beverly Hills thrown in, like it's, you know.
60s.
Clearly been updated.
Oh, play that one.
Crank it up.
Let's rock.
Everybody, let's rock. So, this is his former Beverly Hills estate. And you can rent it for $4,000 a night. But there is a catch. You have to stay at least 5 nights. You can't scrounge up $4,000 and get one night in the king's old pad.
Oh.
You have to come up with $20,000. You got to stay at least 5 nights. It's 4-bedroom, 6-bath, sits on a cliff, floor-to-ceiling windows, walls of glass in every room, a huge pool, a spa, a guest house out back. And I guess it's still got the original gates where Elvis used to go out and greet fans in the 60s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, maybe you can get like 4 friends together, each have a bedroom. $1,000 a night.
Right. It's still really, it's pretty pricey. That's a big splurge.
Oh, that house.
I know, isn't it beautiful?
That's what I'd want.
Yeah.
We went and looked at a house over the last weekend.
Oh, tell us about that.
I am. Anyway, it didn't bring about this feeling for sure.
That's a good
house. And one of the things, as nice as it was, I was all, so this isn't a 2-story, so what's that? And the guy comes out and looks and he goes, it looks like it's just a faux thing. Yeah, those windows are blacked out. I was like, what?
They have a fake second floor on there?
It's not a whole floor, but there's definitely like a thing on top. I don't
know. Like a cupola looking thing?
Like a chimney?
No, it's like a piece of roof. It's another separate little roof thing popping out with windows up front. And I was,
maybe it's a safe room.
I don't know.
What city was this house in?
I'd rather not say. But
don't just say. Where was it?
Or show us a picture at break.
This is what I want.
That's what everybody wants.
How do I get that?
I don't know, man. $20,000 a week.
It can't be worth that, though. Is it just because it's Elvis?
And Beverly Hills, I guess. I don't know. I mean, if you're on some kind of Elvis pilgrimage going across the world, you know, it's actually a bargain compared to this one. I guess there's this producer. His name was A. Jerry Parencio. Do you know this guy, Hooman?
He passed.
Gerald Parencio. So it's a place in L.A., Bel Air, and it is $350 million. 10 acres with 25,000 square foot main house and a 57 square foot guest house, which is.
Damn, I'm looking at that house now.
This one, the Jerry Parencio thing?
Do you have the picture up for Vinny?
I have an overhead shot of it.
Yeah. It's this is another.
It is apparently the most expensive home on the open market right now in America.
Oh, and he just died. He founded Univision.
Is that how you say it?
No. Well, you say Univision.
Just like Usette.
Yeah, Univision.
Don't give a crap.
Oh, my God. I'm so...
Get him!
We're feisty today.
Yeah, what is up with him today?
I don't know. On the far other end of the spectrum, and frankly, I don't know. To me, this is way more desirable than the $350 million place. There's a four-bedroom home in Orrington, Maine. And it's 113 years old. It's on about, looks like, I think it's 3 acres. And the deal with this is that Stephen King was living there.
I was just going to say, if it's Maine, it's Stephen King. It's got to be.
He was renting it when he, I guess he lived there with his family while he was writing Pet Sematary.
Oh, is this during the drink and drug days?
I believe those are the drink, 1979.
Oh,
they were renting the home in 1979. His daughter Naomi's pet cat was struck and killed by a vehicle. He went out to a nearby pet cemetery in the woods behind his house. And that's where he got the idea for Pet Sematary, which was published a few years later. And it's, if you are not familiar with that story, the Creed family loses its pet cat in a similar accident. But the kitty doesn't stay dead because that's a special pet cemetery.
Right.
Kitty comes back. Kitty's a little different, but kitty comes back. The home is 4 bedrooms, 3 baths, 3 acres, multi-car garage, butler's pantry, sun porch, massive sun floor bonus room. They call it a home renovator's dream, which means it needs some work. And it is $255,000.
Is that all?
Yep. It's about 15 minutes to Bangor, hour and a half from the University of Maine. So for $250,000, and here's a picture of it. It's freaking beautiful. It's a huge, gorgeous house on 3 acres.
But it's there.
Yep. You'd have to live in Maine.
This is a picture in the summertime. It's
they
not
actually
covered
say
in snow.
In
here.
The backyard, you can build a skating rink.
Oh, when? In the winter.
In the winter, right. When everything's all frozen over. I say, you know, you can certainly have a giant play area or build a skating rink. It'll be fine. All right, Vinny, what's coming up?
A restaurant in China is giving huge discounts, and it might be wrong. I'll let you decide if this is wrong or not.
I've already decided.
After these.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Thanks for being here with us. Hope you get everything done because it's Tuesday. We'll get her done thing. This part of the program is sponsored by First Five California.
That's right, everyone. If you go to the Alice973 Instagram, today is a very significant day in the world. Why, you ask?
Why, I ask?
Because it's International Cat Day.
Oh.
And there's a picture of Sarah and her beautiful cat, Kobe. On the Instagram page. Also, that's in the left-hand corner. That's Garage Cat making an appearance. And he just has a message for Vinny and his family.
What's the message?
It says it there. I'd rather you just look at the
else. I am looking
you,
at it.
You, Cat Day. Oh.
It's you.
What? I don't get it.
In other words, you know, it's you.
No, we don't. We totally. You got to explain that to us. We're mystified.
You know how sometimes it's, people say, it's not me, it's you?
Oh.
This person's saying, it's not me. It's you.
It's you.
Oh,
got it.
Right. I get it.
Sorry. International Cat Day.
I realize it was so deep, but it's pretty easy for me to figure out.
It's very deep.
Well, you posted it.
This is me right before I went to bed last night. Hooman writes to me and he goes, hey, can you send me a picture of you and one of your cats real quick? I'm like, John, quick, take my picture. Oh, kitty. You see my other cat sacked out on the chair behind me. Kitty! I forgot to like it. Oh, well. I'll go back and do it again. Want to know one of the most powerful things you can do with your child? Read. Do it every day. More at first5california.com.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by RadioAlice.com. Our station's website has people who work really hard on it.
Mm-hmm. They do a great job.
There's a ton of stuff there for your viewing pleasure, including a place where you can watch this show.
Hi.
Cameras, we got a guy. It's all good. Check it out, RadioAlice.com. It's 7:39. Here's what's happening. America has a couple crises on its hands. You've heard of the opioid crisis. Mm. People are ODing all over the place, and it's a real problem. Now, I'm here to report we have a credit card debt problem. And this is the interesting part of the story. American consumers now collectively have the most outstanding revolving debt in U.S. history. And we haven't been close to this since April 2008.
Wow.
If you remember, that's the bubble.
Yep.
Gulp.
So does that mean that we feel good about the economy because we've run our cards up? Like, we feel secure that our jobs
Americans have $1.021 trillion in outstanding revolving credit.
Jesus.
Which beats the previous record. Ay, ay, ay. So.
Yeah.
There's no solution to the problem. I don't bring it up because I have some idea. It's just.
It's funny you said crisis, and I was thinking, oh, God, I know North Korea is going to totally wipe us out. Oh, yeah, that's right. Locally, we have some other stuff too.
Credit debt, everybody.
Yeah. Let's focus on that. That seems a safer thing to
focus
on.
Well, I was surprised that we had someone who we are friends with who comes on the show occasionally who just had this whole story about the credit card debt he was carrying and how he has to. And I was shocked to hear how much it was.
Mm.
Remember that?
I do. It's a very high amount. I felt kind of sick when I heard about it.
Well, yeah, like what?
Like, oh, get to work.
Well, stop buying crap then. Off to another country.
Mm.
Wow. Okay, man. Here's an interesting thing. A cafe in Melbourne, Australia, is giving its male customers a side of gender, at Handsome Her, men are asked to pay an 18% premium to reflect the gender pay gap.
Oh, wow. They make 18% more, so they have to pay 18% more.
Men earn an average of 17.7% more than women for full-time work in Australia, and they say that's roughly the same for here in the United States. The cafe opened its doors for the first time last week, and they're hoping to shine a spotlight on the issue. They have a thing right there out front. Number one, rule one, women have priority seating.
Oh.
Rule two, men will be charged an 18% premium to reflect the gender pay gap. Now, rule three, respect goes both ways.
Hmm.
How do you think that's going to go for them?
Horrible. It's going to be shut down any minute now.
I don't know, but it's a very interesting concept. And I'm interested to hear how it does shake out. Will the men protest?
Who's going to go?
Yeah, is the protest?
The women
just
are
gonna,
I'm
gonna
going to go. I'm paying 18% less than the dudes. I'm going to go. And I get priority seating. Rock on!
Isn't that a normal day?
What do you mean? That I'm paying 18% less?
No. You're not paying 18%.
I think they're making a great statement.
Oh, I do too. But I don't think that you're getting a discount. I think men are being charged extra.
Well, I would like to sit there and watch that happen.
You would?
Yes.
All right.
No, I mean, look, I really... Who were you telling me the other day? Was it actually Salesforce that he went... Somebody went, no, they're doing the same job. Why wouldn't they be making the same amount of money? I think it's horrible that women are paid less for the same job.
Benioff specifically, the guy who runs Salesforce, made a point to equal out the pay for the same job. Other companies have done this too. I don't know of any off the top of my head, but you know, right after we saw Google put out that, or a Google engineer put out that inner office memo, a 10-page manifesto about why men are better suited for work in the tech industry. He was fired on Monday.
Mm.
And they came out with comments, you know, against him, saying that we don't.
I like it. I think it's a good statement and kind of a funny, interesting way to make a point.
All right. Well, they opened on Thursday, and it'll be interesting to see how they do.
The reviews are not good.
Oh, no. Oh, what are they saying?
People are pretty upset by it.
Oh.
I would think that it does come off a little aggressive, and there might be people who, like, for one, I'm just not going there.
Yeah.
I'm not protesting them. I'm not going to tell them anything. I got nothing to say to you.
Here's an interesting one. My brother doesn't identify with any particular gender, non-binary, and feels discriminated against.
Oh, there's always something.
In
you can't, you can't make a statement without screwing somebody over. Mm-hmm. That's funny. Well, it is outrageous that a woman and a man would be paid a different amount for the same job, the same work. So be outraged. Go ahead.
Speaking of restaurants, Hamilton is about to end its run, if it hasn't already, and all the restaurants in town right near there are bummed.
I'll bet they are.
It's actually, the headline reads, Restaurants Facing Life After Hamilton.
What did they say it was coming back 2019?
It is coming back in 2019, but until then.
For a longer run, too, I think.
All the restaurants that have been enjoying packed houses.
Night after night after night.
Let me see, they even have it after 5 months of sellouts. They show the restaurants have been packed from like Tuesday through Sunday. So
that's a
save your money when you have good times.
Yep.
Tell me if this is a problem.
Okay.
So we just did the story about the uptick in price if you have a wiener.
Yeah.
A seafood restaurant in eastern China called Trendy Shrimp is in a little bit of trouble because they started a new promotion this month where women can get a huge discount if they have big boobs.
Oh.
It's a sliding scale where you get a 5% discount if you're an A cup, all the way up to 65% off your meal for a G cup.
65% off. Now, do they have to, is there some perv there testing to make sure your boobs are real, or can I just go ahead and stick a watermelon in each cup?
It doesn't appear that there's a perv there testing. No, but they did have a sign out front, a cartoon version of seven women with different cup sizes showing the price discounts.
What's this called? Testy Shrimp?
Trendy Shrimp.
Trendy Shrimp. That's it.
They took the sign down, but the promotion is not off. They took the sign down because of the complaints. They were really getting a lot of trouble.
I'm sure they were.
You said 65% for a G cup?
Yeah.
Would you get 65% use that?
Or 50%.
What would you get?
Well, it depends, because one of the companies we were talking to, when I said I was a 38 triple D, they said you're a 38F then with their bra. I never tried their bra.
You're almost.
Because they didn't make it that big. But
so you'd probably get 60% off. You have a problem with this restaurant?
Well, she's got big boobs. Of course she doesn't. She's going to save money. It's us little booby girls that are.
I mean, is it as bad as the other restaurant you just did in Australia?
Yeah, which one of those is worse? Which of those is a worse idea for a restaurant?
The men's one. The one that discriminates.
A man with small boobs.
Oh, they're both great ideas.
Whatever.
I'm just kidding. It's the.
I mean, would I
it's
go?
The boob one.
Sure.
You'd go there?
Sure.
Well, Johnny B is very frugal.
He is frugal.
We can go down to Zesty Shrimp and you can get most of your meal for free.
There's going to be a solar eclipse. Maybe you've seen the stories. It's coming on August 21st. People are getting ready for this big time. You ever seen an eclipse?
Yeah, you know. You see them from time to time.
I remember it being a thing when I was in elementary school. They had some kind of a toilet paper roll.
Yeah, you'd poke a little hole through it and you could kind of project it through.
But the hype over these is a big deal. I guess you need to see this in your lifetime. And if you haven't, it's...
Well, they say you need to see a total eclipse. Like there's a minute there where you can actually look at it and none of the sun is showing. And there's usually a specific place on Earth you got to go to see it. Perfectly, like we're not going to get a complete eclipse. Part of the sun will be showing, but I think it's isn't it Wyoming? They're saying
or Oregon.
Oh, maybe it's Oregon.
Oregon, yeah, that's what I've been hearing.
But it's not. I think we're too far south to see it perfectly. So part of the disc will be right.
According to this story, the last time we had a really good solar eclipse was 99 years ago.
Oh,
so this is a once in a lifetime event. A flea market in Western Kentucky's throwing a big eclipse party. And they plan to launch a fireworks display in the middle of it. And people are furious because it might cause a trouble with viewing.
Yeah.
As you
we're trying to look at the sun.
Not being.
Right.
They say the fireworks display will only be about a minute, but the total eclipse will last 2 minutes, 21 seconds. So you'll be able to experience the total darkness. It's not going to ruin everything. Anyway, I don't know. I mainly do the story because you're probably seeing this. Solar eclipse is coming. It's on the 21st. And for some reason, it's a huge deal.
People love, when celestial things happen.
That's something almost not happening, though. It's the absence of happening.
What?
It just gets dark, and then
get dark. It just, the quality of light changes. I love when there's any kind of eclipse. I always, if I can, make a point to watch it.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I love it. I like a lunar eclipse more than a solar eclipse because it's so much more vivid and seeable.
All right.
Didn't you go somewhere?
No.
To see a lunar eclipse?
No. I mean, I might have gone down the street or something.
Oh, I thought you went to some observatory or something.
No, I've gone to observatories, but not specifically for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went to Mount Palomar when I was a kid for some school thing, and that's a huge telescope observatory. Mm. And I left there all fired up. The sky, it's awesome.
It is. It's incredible.
I burned out quick on that, though. All right. Outer space. I can't see anything from here, so I'm over it. once I was home.
Right. You needed a powerful telescope.
Our text number is 800-400-3697. We love to hear from you guys. Send us along any opinion or thought you have.
Right.
We do read them. 707 says, what's up with him today? What's up with him every day?
Who?
He's always the point of contention, only with the show and the listeners, but within everyone on the show now, too.
Are you talking about Hooman?
Mm-mm.
Oh. I find him fascinating.
Clearly. Mm. The fake roof is called a dormer.
Oh.
925 says, it's called a gable null. You're the...
A gable null?
Oh, I think it's called a gable. That's a person who always signs their text null.
Oh!
Me and Brynn are always like, what does null mean? I don't know if it's their name.
Yeah, but normally those aren't closed off on unreachable parts of the house.
Is there
you should go up in the attic and see.
Oh, well, maybe if through the attic you can get into it?
Maybe.
All right.
But it sounds like the windows were blocked
out.
Well,
I mean, that's a guess from outside looking up to the thing. I don't know what.
I mean, they're growing pot up there, Vin.
Maybe. Oh, it's a grow farm.
Parencio. That house is the old Beverly Hillbillies house. I landscaped it for Jerry 22 years ago, says 925.
That's so funny. Yeah, that must be part of the reason that it wound up in the. Although it's also the most expensive house on the market in America today or something. But that house, it's $350 million, 10 acres in Bel Air. And it's like a 10,000 square foot house with a 5,000 or 25,000 square foot house and a 5,000 square foot guest house. And everything else that you think would come along with a Bel Air.
5,000-foot guest house.
I know. Humongous.
707 says, isn't Mike Birbiglia the guy that fell off the wagon at one of the Cinco de Mayo live shows?
I don't remember that.
No, it's not him.
It's not? Is he? Ask him if he's on the wagon.
Are you on the wagon? No.
Oh,
it's not him. Do you know? Do you have any idea? You don't
have
any memory?
I vaguely recall.
He doesn't like wagons at all.
Yeah. Well, wagons suck. We're not five anymore. There were a few incidents in the years you were gone, Vin. There was some debauchery that happened.
I missed the debauchery.
Apparently so.
Is that right?
Yeah. Vaguely recall things going very far south at a Cinco de Mayo party, but...
Really?
Yeah, apparently it wasn't Mike Birbiglia. Or he's lying. I mean, one or the other. We'll find out right after these.
Sarah and Vinny.